titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time like Blondie. Check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all of the time, like sex on the beaches. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Huh, what? On my titties like you wanted me, calling me all the time like Bondi. Check out my Chrissy behind, it's fine all over the time. What else is in the teachers of peaches? Like sex on the beaches.
If you haven't figured it out, you're in Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. And we talk about all things that are sexy in Van City. I'm Caroline McGilliver, your host for the evening. And I have a very special guest tonight. You may have heard about the stuff in the news lately about survival sex workers. And oh, I've got music going, which I find absolutely fascinating because it wasn't quite what I had in mind. Stage of it, and I'm getting distracted right now, which is interesting. So I'm just going to turn that nice and low, and we're going to go real slow. But as I was saying at the top of the hour, is I've got a very special guest, and we're talking about something really important. So the fact that it's important is a sexy fact. It's a little unsexy that it got its funding cut this last week. The last day was on the 12th of June. And it is the Mobile Access Project, which is run through Wish Drop-In Center and PACE, which are two organizations that do some really wonderful work with some really great women in the downtown east side, in particular with survival sex workers. And I'm really excited to have Laurel Irons on, who is the project coordinator. Welcome, Laurel.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to have the extra time to talk about something that is so important and that hopefully we're not going to lose.
I hope not, too. And it's been really cool just catching up as well, as we'd mentioned, because I had you on the show a couple months ago when it was the five-year anniversary, which is really exciting. And it's just neat because for you listeners out there, I have known Laurel since I first moved out of the house. I think I was like 19. I'm actually struggling right now to think about how long it's been, but it's just really fascinating that we both ended up working with women who are sometimes have a lot of barriers in their lives, sometimes dealing with HIV, Hep C, mental ill health, a lot of violence in their lives, both physical and or emotional in so many different ways. And it's really cool that somehow or another, even though I haven't seen you in a really long time, we won't go into how many years it's been, but it's really exciting, and it's a huge honor, the fact to find you again, and thanks to Facebook, and that you're doing some really, really lovely work.
Yeah, thank you. I also think it's a neat coincidence, but I'm glad that there are people that are out there doing this work.
And
that's better.
That because of our connection, but also because of the work that we're both doing, that we can have this opportunity to connect and support each other.
Me too. It's really great. So you'd mentioned that you'd been a support worker working on another project before you were hired on this. How did you get into social support work originally?
The first project that I did was a video project. So it was actually
cool.
The same kind of thing. It was working with media, but bringing attention to the fact that there are people out there that need support, and that especially the survival sex industry is so marginalized and women are so vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was the work that I was doing, was a media project. And as that project was wrapping up, I started working on the Map Van as a support worker at that time. And from there, I became a driver, a full-time driver with the van. And sometime after that, I became the coordinator. So I've been involved in the van in different capacities over the years.
I think that's really cool. And I think it's neat, too, because I was on the board for WISH, which for those of you out there who aren't familiar with WISH, it stands for Women Information Safe House. And with PACE, which is the other organization, that it's a prostitution alternative
counseling
and education, and they're both two wonderful organizations that do some fantastically different work, so they complement each other in many different ways for the survival sex workers in the and Vancouver's downtown east side, which was exciting because I used to be on the board for WISH at one point, and ironically the other work I do with Beauty Night started because I was volunteering at WISH, so it's a really, really lovely organization. It's very dear to my heart, so
yeah. And it's great to have that continuum of services as well, so
mm-hmm.
women have access to the van and to the drop-in, but then also through Beauty Night are able to feel good about being beautiful.
Yeah. No, it's exciting.
Yeah.
So, and the van is really cool. It's almost like a WISH on wheels in some ways, which for those listeners out there who haven't... I don't know what WISH is. WISH is, they used to, and correct me if I'm wrong, but back in the day, they used to have meals where they would serve mm-hmm. about 200 survival sex workers every evening. A lot of the women are sometimes ostracized within other, or not by the organizations themselves, but by the other women in the community, where it's almost like, well, I'm a drug user, but at least I'm not a survival sex worker. And there's almost a stigma where they're almost stigmatized to such a degree, even within the other women, which you'd think would be a little bit more supportive, but they're not. So WISH really has a huge place because it brings these ladies in. They have showers. It's a place where they can talk. There's nurses who are there, so if they need to be checked out, it's really, really good because sometimes, again, they're not comfortable going to the doctor. They've got a literacy program, and they've got all sorts of lovely programs, and the Mobile Access Project is a partnership between WISH and PACE, and it's a really cool project, which was originally, I'm just trying to remember who originally started it. Was through the...
Through the Vancouver Agreement, the Women's Task Team, and that was in around 2004, there was also a report put out by the BC Experiential Women's Coalition of Experiential Women at the time, just calling for a need for 24-hour services, mm-hmm. for outreach services, to step up the eyes and ears basically on the streets, because at that time, of course, the missing women's case was going on. It was in the middle of that, and mm-hmm. so it was an answer to that, to what was going on the streets with women going missing, and just really tragic events. But out of that came the Map Van, mm-hmm. To be able to provide a service when there was no services, so overnight and throughout the whole city of Vancouver.
Which I think is fantastic. And the fact that, I mean, it just celebrated its 5 years, which has been great. And there's so much great things. So you do things like, I should probably let you say it in your own words what you do. I've always thought of it as Wish on Wheels in so many great ways, and helps a lot of the women on the stroll that sometimes may be barred from the center for misbehavior, or just may not be comfortable enough to come in.
Yeah, or may not be able to access it because of their geographical area, or, you know, there's so many barriers, even sometimes just to get 10 blocks away. There's so many barriers that make it difficult to do that. So it is important. But there are women all throughout the city of Vancouver, not just in the downtown east side. So we do drive all over Vancouver, so concentrating on the strolls in the downtown east side and around Commercial, Kingsway, Fraser, even downtown, so around Seymour and in the West End and all over the place, anywhere where we can find women working, basically.
Okay, and so does that include the High Track as well?
Yes,
then?
Yes.
I did not realize that. Okay.
It does, but our mandate is survival sex workers. Mm-hmm. But that said, if we get flagged, we drive around the city and people will flag us because we carry supplies, so we're not going to turn anybody away. So while we're roaming the streets, we can get all kinds of flags from women.
And so I know you tea, coffee, lube, condoms.
Yeah, condoms and lube, and clean needles. People, we do needle recovery, so we actually take in a lot to help keep the streets safe. And also because of through the Living in Community initiative, when through that project or through that initiative, if communities are having a problem or finding that there's needles in the park or something like that, they can call and we'll respond to that call and make sure that that's not happening, or kind of scout around the area, mm-hmm. kind of thing, talk to the women if need be. But we do, so we bring supplies, coffee, food when we have it. Oftentimes Wish will give us food, or donations of food will come our way, clothes if we have them, and of course information on bad dates, so or any violent offenders. So when people are being reintegrated back into the community and there's a concern, mm-hmm. or if there's somebody that's missing, youth that are there's a concern about, we take all that information around and are able to let women know what the situation is on the streets. And
I think it's fantastic. Let's talk a little bit about the bad date sheet. Yeah. I believe that was originally when Pace was the one that originally created it, but Wish actually does that now, does it not?
Yeah, I think originally, I don't know the whole history, I know mm-hmm. DAS was involved as well.
That's right, actually. The downtown Eastside
Youth Activities Society.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
John and Deb.
Yeah.
Judy.
And Wish has been compiling that information, I believe, since 2004. I could be wrong, but I know it's something around there anyways. Mm-hmm. And so we get a lot of the bad date, we being the Map Van, we get 95% of the bad date reports
95%.
In the city. So women can report violent offenders or anybody of concern, mm-hmm. stalkers, and that kind of thing. We call it the red light alert, because bad date kind of, it can imply that a date is a consensual activity, but this is not necessarily consensual activities that are going on. These can be people that are just driving around and harassing women, or taking them into their cars, or whatever might be going on without mm-hmm. their consent. So it's important to make that distinction. But we do get 95% of the reports, and then they're compiled weekly, and then Wish would would disseminate the reports through other community agencies and police departments all over the Lower Mainland. And so I think that number is about 130 different agencies, including the police departments, that use that information and continue to send it around. And then we also would give out on the van, we'd give out up to 80 per week to women, and then the women that get them share them through their communities as well. So that's a lot of information, and that's going to be a major, major gap.
That's huge.
Yeah.
With the bad dates, the women deal with a lot. I guess we should probably go back, and I know our last show, last time I had you on, we talked about what is a survival sex worker. And I don't know if you want to go on with talk about that a little bit.
Sure, yeah. And it's a terminology that's quite common, and it's something that can be up for debate depending on I guess what side you're looking
Fair
from.
Enough.
But generally the idea implies that oftentimes these are sex workers that are involved in the activities they're involved in without the choice, without the ability to negotiate their safety. So they're on the streets for any number of reasons, mm-hmm. but once they're in that field, the survival sex work field, they're so vulnerable to the environment around them, the streets and the people around them, that they're not necessarily able to make clear choices for their own safety. And so that involves maybe not being able to turn down an unsafe situation, unsafe work, not having the time to negotiate their terms of employment, I guess you could say.
No, it makes sense. About a week ago, I was actually having a talk with Dave Dixon, who's also a sex trade liaison for the Vancouver Police Department, or used to be. He's also one of our board members for Beauty Night, and we had a talk series, actually, for which I'm excited because Kate Gibson, who's the executive director of Wish, will actually be at that series tomorrow. Listeners, if you're listening, you can come down too and hear it firsthand. But one of the things we discussed was in terms of what makes a bad date. There was one case where the gentleman had actually videotaped the violence that he had done to the sex workers, and a tourist overheard him in Crab Park. And so with that, he got caught where he had the duffel bag with the tape, because they saw the girl coming out crying. And they ended up getting a search warrant, ended up going to his place, and turned out there's about 30 girls on the tape. And Dave said that about five of them testified against him. But when the judge asked, was this a bad date, all of them said no. And some of them even made out second dates with them, even though he beat the crap out of them. And I won't go into full details because it's pretty graphic, some of the things. But in terms of with addiction, which is one of the things that not all, but many survival sex workers deal with, it's like, you know, getting paid $20 to either have, you know, get the crap beaten out of you, or $20, you know, to basically have sex without a condom. It's something that to these women, because it's for the next hit sometimes, and it's really, really important to have safety. So having the van there where there's a checkpoint, where especially in those wee hours of the morning, it's difficult.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point, because a lot of people will ask then, if the van's not there, why can't women just buy their own condoms, and or why can't the dates bring their own condoms? But the reality is that that's often not the case. And you're right, people will pay extra to not use them, or just flat out won't use them, will refuse, or will sneak it off, or lie, or do whatever to not use the condoms. And so at least if the women have them already, then that's going to go a long way, not just to keep them safe, but of course it's exponential. And so you know, if we have already an HIV crisis in this city, we're all affected by that.
We are. Actually, there was a study a couple of years ago, and you might want to elaborate if you know about it. I just remember reading about it in the Georgia Strait, as opposed to firsthand reading the study, but where there was a huge increase in Aboriginal women in the downtown east side contracting HIV and Hep C, and it was because they were letting their partners share the needles use the needles first. So I think it's great that you're actually collecting the used needles and offering other ones, so then at least that way. Because I know sometimes there may be some listeners out there who are going, why are they giving them, you know, needles? Because it's encouraging them to use, and it's actually encouraging. It's harm reduction. It's keeping them safe.
Yeah.
Same with the condoms, where it's just like, you know. And it's hard sometimes, where it's just like, if they're going to give a couple more dollars,
Yeah, but encouraging safety is really important because a lot of times people might not know why they're using the condoms or clean needles because they're in that moment of living moment by moment or day by day. Mm-hmm. So they're not necessarily thinking about their long-term safety, but actually some friends of mine and I that work in harm reduction were making this point earlier, but if it becomes the trend where women are all using condoms and clean paraphernalia, whatever it might be, then that's the cool thing. That's what happens, and you mm-hmm. don't think about it. You just have it, and you just do it. And if that's what it takes, then that's better. Then, you know, we're lucky in Vancouver because we have these services like this, and we mm-hmm. have an open-ended needle exchange. But you go out of Vancouver, and you don't have that, so you have so much more sharing of supplies because out of a necessity.
Do you think one of the reasons why there's so much just pushed into the downtown east side in general is because a lot of the service providers are there and not in other areas?
That could be part of it, definitely. I can't say I know the whole history of why the downtown east side is what it is. There's a lot of stories and you know, we can go back, but
that would be a whole show, actually.
Yeah, an interesting one, too.
A very interesting one.
But yeah, as far as the service providers, definitely, I think that is a component. I was reading in the homeless count that the Carnegie recently did where they were talking about, they asked people if they came into the downtown east side to access services, and a lot of them said they did, but I think a lot of other people come in because their friends or family members are there too, so they don't necessarily know what they're coming into. They're coming to find their family and a good thing that the services are there.
No, it is a really good thing that the services are there. What do you think in terms of the Olympics and how it's affecting the downtown east side?
Well, I definitely think that there's a lot of money going into the infrastructure and the security, and we're seeing the loss in other places, like with the MAP van, but also with housing and a lot of outreach, and I think that's really unfortunate. As far as, you know, there's a lot of talk about trafficking and the Olympics right now, and mm-hmm. there's a couple reports that have just recently come out, and one is through GATT and one is through FIRST, or through the it's called SUSAG, I should say, and it's interesting because there's been a lot of talk about you know, why we need to crack down on prostitution for the Olympics, because it's going to bring a lot of trafficking. And these reports have actually gone on to debunk that idea and to look at other cities with major sports events and say, no, this hasn't actually been the case. So that's a really interesting thing going on right now in the media and in the research community. So I do encourage people to look into that one.
No, I think it's important. So it really is. The other things that are really important, I think, in terms of with the Olympics, it's great because it's focusing on that area. One of the interesting things that when I spoke with Dave Dixon last week, which I thought was fascinating, was he was saying when he was in New York, there was no panhandlers, no people on the streets at all. And I can't remember the quote he used with the mayor at the time, but he thought it was a really arrogant thing to say, where it was like he didn't believe in charity or something like that. And he actually said he had too much respect for these people, and they didn't deserve charity, they deserved a chance. And so they made sure there was housing, they made sure everything. So I'm hoping Vancouver will take a page out of that, even though I know they don't put as much money into, like, the VPD and stuff like that. So there's not as many in terms of actual manpower and body.
Yeah.
So it gets a little challenging.
Well, I hope we just don't see people being pushed under the rug or pushed out of the way, and that services can continue to go on and do what they're out there to do,
mm-hmm.
even during those 2 weeks.
What do you think, because I know you've got a child, in terms of for kids, keeping them off the street and out of the sex trade? Because a few years ago, there was a study through the University of Victoria where the average age of entry into the sex trade was 12. In BC, 14 across the country. So what do you think we need to do to educate our youth and also for the children of, say, our survival sex workers, where we can protect them in some way, shape, or form? Because I've got really mixed feelings personally, because for Beauty Night, sometimes I see women who have, like, five children, and half of them are in care, and sometimes I feel bad because I know the woman really misses them, but I also know they don't have the coping skills to be a solid parent at that stage of their life. Not that they won't ever, but yeah. So what do you think we need to do?
Well, it is really, it's so heartbreaking, I think, to see families being torn apart, and no matter what the circumstances, it's always heartbreaking to witness a mother losing their child. And
definitely.
And I think that definitely we need to have education and support for youth, but before children are born, they're inside their mothers. There's a life that happens before that, and so I think the more supports that we have for women, especially pregnant women, so communities around women that are pregnant or resources for women that are pregnant will go a long way to keeping the biological families together, I think.
So that'd be really good for organizations, say, like She Way or First Square, for example, for women dealing with addiction and pregnancy.
Yeah.
At BC Women's Hospital, where I know First Square has 12 beds.
And also, I think it's important not to turn our back on these women when they have lost their children, because oftentimes they do come to a place where they're ready to give it another go, and at that point that they've been so entrenched in the system, or their children have for so long, that it becomes really hard to reunite with their family. So we have to keep supporting them through that.
Are there any educational programs right now for the kids that you know of that you think are good, that perhaps we should expand on, that you can think of?
I know there's a lot of community centered children's programs out there, kids programs, and I can't think of any names off the top of my head, but I would definitely encourage more community-based and culturally-based children's and family-centered programming. And I really like seeing like after-school programs and school lunch programs and that kind of thing, but I also like things like community kitchens and stuff like that, where people can have access to food and to cooking and to being around other mothers, children, family, or people from the community. Really grassroots stuff, I think, is important.
No, I think it is too. I know with Beauty Night right now, we're actually we've got a couple volunteers, because we do our annual Christmas stocking drive, where we do the 500 Christmas stockings, and we get elementary school kids to make them. We're actually just getting a few more talks going into the schools, where we've got youth actually coming in and doing them about the downtown east side. This is pretty cool, where it's youth talking to other youth, and we've also got Knit Fit, which is Laura Moss program, where they make scarves for the women as well and hand them out, and they've been doing that since she was 11, actually, so she's 17 now.
Oh, cool.
But it's pretty trippy, and I'm hoping that there'll be more stuff like that, just even if the kids aren't necessarily going down to the downtown east side, but just doing the education where there's things they can do at an early age. I think it's one of those things where, as parents too, because my old co-host for the radio show is a sex educator, Julia Saunders, who's fantastic. And that was one of the big things, where it's educating parents that it's really important to educate the children and educating them early, because if average age of entry is 12, there's kids as young as 6. Sometimes. And people are always horrified when I say that, when there's kids 6 to 10, you know, on the kiddie stroll and stuff like that. And they're like, in Vancouver, there's 6-year-olds in the sex trade? And it's like, yeah. If you talk to some of our participants, some of them have been down here for a very long time. Sometimes it's generational, where the parent gets an extra $10 if their parent, if their child gets to have sex. And when it turns with addiction, which hopefully with more addiction services and harm reduction, we'll be able to lower some of those things.
Yeah, and I think at this point too, it's important to say that a lot of these kids that end up on the streets, a lot of it is intergenerational, but a lot of times they come from really good homes as well. And I think that is the key, is having good communication and openness within your family, because kids, no matter where they come from, they can end up on the streets.
And that's true.
Yeah,
it's very true. I love that saying with WISH, which used to be part of it, mothers, Could be, you know, a woman on the street. Could be your mother. Could be your daughter. Could have been your best friend when you grew up. Could be your grandmother. Could be anybody. Yeah. I've got one of my Beauty Night volunteers, actually, that it breaks her heart because she's got a couple of her girlfriends that are down there now who they grew up with. And sometimes it's hard for her when she comes out to volunteer because... Yeah. It could have been her. It was just she happened to have a very strong couple family members who helped out where the communication was very strong. But sometimes even then it's not quite enough.
Yeah. And so here in Vancouver, we are all touched by this issue in one way or another, maybe directly through a family member or a loved one, or maybe it might be once or twice removed. But I think we still have all have a connection.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a really quick short break. And when we return, we're going to talk a little bit more about the Downtown East Side, the Mobile Access Project, and all sorts of other stuff, and maybe a little bit of sexy stuff, too. You are listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR, and we're going to have a little bit more Peaches, and we are going to be right back. Which, by the way, the song I had at the very top of the hour was Fuck the Pain Away, which is by Peaches, who happens to be a great Canadian artist. And we're going to have a little bit more of her right about now.
I can't believe I'm part of the coolest club in the world!
Club?
Yeah?
So, what club is that?
CITR! As a club member, I get enormous discounts on the Friends of CITR card, which in itself, Timmy, I must say, is pretty amazing. I get dirt cheap prices at stores and shops I'm at all the time anyway! To be honest, it feels like being in a club, it's in a club! You don't even have to be a member to get one, although clearly you'd be that much cooler if you were a member. Go purchase your Friends of CITR card down at CITR. or at special events they sponsor, such as concerts, membership drives, and game days. Kiss what I said.
Black belt, Levi, kimono. Oh no, it's Devo and Yoko. Oh no, kids in Saigon. The pops in Taiwan. Gods in Kyoto. The waivers in Tokyo. We must admit, we love youth in Asia. Their clothes and shit will totally amaze ya. Yes, it's the truth.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio, and that was pretty trippy. I'm having a little bit of technical things, as everybody knows, technical difficulties. But in that regard, we are back, and we are talking about some stuff that is not always so sexy. We had a little bit of Peaches on there for Heartbreak, which I don't know if that was the sexiest song in the world. I don't know. What do you think, Laurel?
She's definitely got sexier.
Yeah, that the Set It Up song was just not as sexy as I would have liked. So we might have to put something else on it. Not that this is supposed to be the full Peaches show, but I like the fact she's Canadian. And she's not afraid to say the word fuck, quite frankly.
No, she's very strong and out there and sex positive.
Very sex positive, which is always a good thing. So, especially for a show like this. Which, anyway, if you are just joining us now, I've got Laurel Irons on, which is very exciting for a multitude of reasons, because she's been my old roommate. But more importantly, she is the project coordinator for the Mobile Access Project, which just got its funding cut on the 12th, and we're hoping that hopefully things will change. So there's a huge media campaign going on right now in terms of the van, and as we were talking about in the first half, for those of you who haven't been listening, the Mobile Access Project goes and to along the stroll for a lot of the survival sex workers in the downtown east side. So it's the first point of contact whenever there's physical or sexual violence. It has a lot of harm reduction, and they're there for a friendly face, which I think I know better than anything just how important friendly face is.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of the feedback that we've been getting, especially in the last little bit here when we've been talking about people about the van going off the road, is how much women appreciate having that friendly face, having somebody that they can trust to talk to, whether it's crisis intervention or just to chat and say, hey, this is how I'm doing. It's really important to have somebody that they trust and that's consistent and that's out there nightly. And also because we do have a peer component on the van, because we do mentor and train and hire women with sex work experience that are exiting or have exited the industry and looking for that first job or what have you. It's a great introduction into work, but it's also a good thing for the women to see, you know, like, quote-unquote, one of their own out there, somebody they know has kind of been there and done that, and they can talk to you about some of the more sensitive stuff that they wouldn't trust just anybody with. So
that's true. And as well as that, too, I think it's really powerful where it's almost, for example, with Beauty Night tonight, we've got one of our former participants, actually, who's at BC Women's Hospital, because we're actually doing a Beauty Night at First Square tonight. And what's cool with that is she saw a lot of the women that she used to use with, and our last month when we did that event, and that was one of the most empowering things, which for her is saying, hey, this is where I'm at now. I've been through this program, and I'm clean and sober, and I'm feeling really good, and you can do it too.
Yeah.
And I think there's that component as well. And there's also the other component as well, that for a lot of the women, as we're saying here in the first half, the average age of entry in the sex trade is 12. In BC, 14 across the country, and with that, there's a lot of these ladies, not some of them have, but a lot of them haven't had a 9-to-5 job. So, you know, getting a job at a temp agency and, you know, doing, you know, answering the phones for 8 hours, that's not for everybody, because these women have dealt with so much different experience. So this is a really good fit, and it helps bridge that gap, teaching them the life skills that they need. And also, I think it empowers them by being able to give back in so many ways.
Definitely. And also to recognize the transferable skills. I mean, a lot of women and maybe they are coming from, maybe they've been on the streets since they were kids, and they're coming from trauma, and that's where they've ended up on the streets or what have you. No one's maybe necessarily told them before that their negotiating skills, their customer relations, like they've got these skills that actually can be used in the workforce and other ways.
In very positive, great ways.
Definitely. So it's always good to see that transition happen as well, and to see women owning their skills and in a whole new way. Yeah.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah.
And I think for those of you out there that are listening tonight who want to get more involved and you're thinking, oh, well, you know, they can't, the provincial government can't start the funding. What can I do, or how can I get involved? Or I'm kind of curious as to, like, you know, where I'm not really sure if this is a cool project or not. I want to just get more information. Well, one of the, how can they get information about that?
Well, definitely going to the Wish or Pace websites for more information, because, of course, it was a partnership between Wish and Pace. So if you go to the Wish website, it's www.wish-vancouver.net. And there's a link to the Map Van under the services link on that webpage, and it talks a lot about the background of the Map Van. And then for more information about Pace, it's www.pace-society.ca. And there's also been stories in the news lately. So if you look at the Vancouver Sun websites, the West Ender has a story, and I think the Courier is going to have a story on Friday. There's a lot of information there and background information. And can I talk a little bit about how people can help?
You bet. And I was also going to mention as well that Kate Gibson, who is the executive director for Wish, will actually be at the Life Skills Center tomorrow, which is at 412 East Cordova at 6:30, and I'll be interviewing her. So you get to see me, the sexy Van City gal, because we're doing a series called Girl Talk, just educating people about survival sex work and just a lot of the issues and barriers that are going on. And Kate's probably going to talk a bit more about how you can get involved as well, but I'm going to let Laurel say it in her own words, because there's some really exciting things, especially on the 23rd coming up.
Yeah, I'll pump the 23rd if I may.
Please do. I was going to do it if you didn't. So
great. No, we're going to have a community rally on the 23rd between 9:30 and 10:30 p.m. So about an hour in the evening, where we're going to do a mock-up route of what the Map Van would do on its typical route, but we're going to condense it so we can fit it into about an hour. So we're going to start in the downtown east side and go through East Vancouver a little bit, so around Commercial Drive and Kingsway neighborhoods as well. And we're asking the public to come out to different, we've got some points along the route. We've got about 10 locations along the route that are going to be like a candlelit vigil kind of style. So we're going to have groups of people at each of these 10 points with candles and banners or whatever people want to bring out to show their support. And the van will come and do its quick little route. And we're inviting other organizations and media to join this little route, so that we can publicize the support that we have across the city. We thought it was really important to have a kind of a traveling event as opposed to in one location, because we do serve a population that is citywide. So at least if we can get outside of one spot and go a little bit to where women might be, then we're asking people to stand in solidarity, not just with the van, but also with, of course, the women. And that's why we're all there.
I think it's really exciting, and that's starting at 9:30, isn't it?
Yeah.
And how late does that go?
We'll start at 9:30 from First United Church at Gorin Hastings, which is where Wish
used to be. The original Wish used to be.
Before, now they have, of course, the new location, but the old
just
First United. The First United Church at Gorin Hastings will be the starting point.
Okay.
So there'll be people there, and can I go through a quick list of...
I would love that. Okay. That'd be great. I know when they get to Dunleavy in East Cordova, I will be there, because Beauty Night is actually right at that corner anyway. And I think Serena's Place, which is another great organization, is going to be at that center too.
And that'll be our next stop. So after the media frenzy of the original send-off, then we'll be on our way to you guys.
I'm excited. Then where are we going from there?
From there, we'll be at... Jackson and Cordova, and Jackson and Hastings, Hastings and Hawks, Hastings and Campbell, Franklin and Raymer, Franklin at Commercial Drive, Victoria and Triumph, Clark and East Georgia, and then back to Commercial Drive will be at Grandview Park, again on Commercial at 7th, so the bridge near the SkyTrain station there, and then from there are two stops on Kingsway, so one's at Kingsway in Nanaimo and the other one's at Kingsway in Joyce.
Wow.
So we're hoping to get that all done in about an hour's time, so we'll see how it goes, but we're asking people to meet at 9:30 at any of those locations, so wherever they're closest to or feel an affinity for, or maybe work near or whatever the case may be. We're going to have volunteers at each location to make sure that each spot is organized and safe. And, of course, we're letting women know, and we're giving them advance notice, and so we're not going to be surprising anybody with our parade.
No, yeah. I think it's great, so then that way they don't feel exploited in any way, shape, or form, so they understand it's for support.
Yeah.
And for those of you out here there who do want to come out, I really encourage you to volunteer, because they do need more volunteers, don't you, at the different points of the stage.
Definitely, yeah. If anybody wants to volunteer to help organize a spot, or even just to help make banners or put up posters, then all of that is definitely very appreciated. So,
and you can also invite your MLA if you'd like, which might be a really great thing, and write to them and just tell them how important this van is and what a difference it makes to the community and how it makes a difference in terms of healing the lives of women.
Yeah, definitely. We are asking people to send their support to their local MLAs, as well as the Mayor and Council of Vancouver, the Solicitor General of BC, and of course the Premier. So if you have letters to write or any comments, then please to send them to those people.
It would be really, really great.
Yeah.
Other things I was going to ask in regards to that. Are there other things they could be doing? Like perhaps would they be able to donate online perhaps?
Definitely.
CanadaHelps.org?
Yes, through Canada Helps, which has a donations page set up. And if anybody has any questions about other ways to donate, then they could definitely get a hold through wishvancouver.net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But definitely writing letters to the MLAs is very important. And if an individual donor wanted to come up and donate a little or a lot of money, that would always be lovely. We're encouraging people to do that, because this is a really great project, and I think it's really important that it's supported, because it's done a huge, huge impact in terms of our city. And WISH isn't to be laughed at in any way, shape, or form, in terms of, not that anybody out there was planning to, but they've been around for a long time. In 2004, they were the recipient of Van City, which believes, you know, that they are worth investing in terms of the parent organization, which they actually were the recipient of the $1 million grant.
Yeah, which they're using to open up as a 24-hour drop-in. So,
which is exciting, because the original space, they couldn't get the zoning past 10 o'clock, because I remember that, because we fought against that for a long time.
Yeah.
So it's exciting that the city's been opening up, and in terms of the zoning, just agreeing that some of the places can be open later and later. But WISH itself does need funds in terms of that, and of course always volunteers. And I think it's a really great opportunity for those of you who complain about the downtown east side or don't really understand what's going on down there, perhaps come down there, go down, take this as an opportunity to see the community, as it really is a huge thriving community in so many great ways. It's not all bad that, you know, we hear about. There's a lot of really great stuff out there.
Yeah, definitely, and it is really good if you're at all curious or don't understand to come and learn a little bit about what's going on and get involved. Of course, we always need people to get involved and to be compassionate.
Definitely, compassion is key.
Yeah.
And hopefully from there, either getting involved with WISH or one of the other organizations, but definitely supporting and realizing that you too can play a part and make a difference. Whether it be from writing to your MLA, whether it's chatting to your kids at school and educating them and educating their friends as well, whether it be coming out and serving, but most important right now, just trying not to lose this really important service that's making such a huge impact.
Yeah, definitely. And so please do get in touch with your elected representatives and come out on the 23rd and make an appearance at one of the locations.
And one last question. Mm-hmm. Did you want to tell me just maybe a testimony or something that when you started working on this project, where was there one moment or something that maybe the first moment that you got where somebody said something, where it made what a difference it made to their lives? You're mentioning even just seeing the smiling faces that the women, it makes a difference. But was there one something that somebody said to you or something that it just really made their day or just impacted in some way?
Yeah, I'm having a hard time thinking of one because there have been so many.
And
there have been so I've seen just personally myself being on the van so many times when women would even be in tears because they're just so happy to have somebody to talk to, somebody to listen, more importantly. Even if they're just talking about their cat or, mm-hmm. you know, updating about the status of whatever else is happening in their lives. And yeah, this is where I start to get all like emotional because there are so many stories, and just, you know, getting to know the women over time is, mm-hmm. is really, really something that I always cherished. And it's not all sad. It can also be really uplifting as well, just to know that we're out there and they're out there and we're appreciating each other. Mm-hmm. Not to sound too hokey about it or anything.
You're not sounding hokey at all. I think it's really important when people can understand how important it is.
Yeah.
Well, definitely. Thank you so much, honey, for being on the show.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And I will be. Yeah. So Marian's just telling us that because he's up next, the Hans von Klose's Misery Hour, which he's a very, very sexy man to be miserable with. So, which he's going to be guiding us into the wee hours with the ambient music and his super sexy, hot voice with that accent. And I didn't get a chance to look at his shoes yet, but they're very, 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 very hot. So we will be back next week at the sexy hour of... Oh, I am just losing everything today, which is really sadly pathetic. Tell me one more thing before I cough. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I ended up coughing anyway. So are you going to be there tomorrow when I do my chat with Kate?
Unfortunately, I actually have a class. I would very much love to be there, but I will be there in spirit. And if it finds its way onto the internet, then I'm definitely going to be checking it out.
I'm hoping that we do get it on the internet because, of course, we know that is a window for everything, including the souls. Did I just say that? Yes,
well,
I think it is now.
It's the modern times.
That is true. So,
I do love the format, though, that you're doing something like a Letterman-style interview talk show for live in front of a studio or in front of a live audience. I think that's really cool.
Thank you. The subject matter
that you're doing, I don't think that's been done before. So,
no, it hasn't actually. Thank you. I'm pretty excited about it because. With Beauty Night, because of course that started originally because of my experience with Wish, which I loved, where I was doing makeup for one of the clients at Wish one night, because I just wanted to make her smile because she came in and had a really bad day. I just want to watch her eyes light up, and through that it completely changed my life, which has been great. And I've been trying to think of a different way to bring the community together. Or it's something that I've got a little bit of strength with because I like doing my shows and stuff like that. Right. But it's also a great way to educate the volunteers, which we had Dave Dixon in for our inaugural one last week, which was exciting. Which he was the former sex trade liaison for the police department and does a lot of really fantastic work. And that was really lovely because a lot of them have still continued to say it's great, and we're hoping to get the audio because unfortunately the video didn't work last week up on YouTube. So then that way we can share that with other people. So then that way, because I think the more education, as you were saying earlier, in terms of with Wish, hopefully that we'll be able to make a difference. We can get people more proactive. So they are writing to their MLAs regularly. They understand a little bit more in terms of voting. So I know it's kind of a weird thing that I'm wanting, but that's what I want, is basically for the community embrace and be empowered by taking control. And so that's what I'm hoping by having the talks and bringing people that are doing some really good works, like yourself, Kate, etc. And having that there, which we're going to have you back on the show for other reasons as well, because you're an acupuncturist as well.
Yeah, I'd love to come back and talk about that as well.
Which we'll have you on in terms of some sexual health stuff as well. Sure. And I think it's great that you're mentioning that with Wish and with Pace, you're going to be doing some other work as well. Mm-hmm. Which we'll have to talk about that a bit more too, in terms of just some health-related things.
Yeah, grassroots healthcare.
I think it's important. Yeah. It's if you don't take care of yourself, which I know I get to listen to you and take care of my voice, which is getting gravelier and gravelier, and I'm going to sound like a smoker, even though I'm so seriously not. So. But with that, I look forward to seeing you next Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. I hope to see everybody out there with their candles.
I hope so, too. Everyone have a great night. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio 101.9 FM on CITR. Just a bit more peaches to end the night. Boys want to be her, which is appropriate for all my transgendered people out there. And all you not transgendered, because it's just a great song by Peaches, another Canadian artist. And yes, this is kind of the Peaches show tonight in some sort of strange way. Have a great night.
Causing waterfalls, stone walls, bar brawls, common stalls.